Hey, it's Thursday morning, and as he always does, he pops by. It's our mayor, Mayor Chad Baczynski, hot on the heels of a very successful I Love Regina Pat's Nightmare on a couple of nights ago. You threw a great party, and the Pats won in overtime. Way to go.
Yeah, what an amazing time for the community. You know, we had the fun zone for families to come check out fire trucks, bouncy castles. It was great. And yeah, what a game. What an ending.
You suited up in a promotional video. You looked like you had some puck sense. You were in a Pats jersey, full equipment. Was that all you in that video that I saw, or was a stand-in used?
It was not all me in that video. Some of it was me. There was some movie magic to probably make me look a little more skilled than I really am. But yeah, it was not totally me.
I thought there was some clever movie magic, or else you would have impressed me there. But yeah, good on you. I'm glad it was a huge success. More than 4,500 people showed up. And as you mentioned, the Pats won on that too. Hey, I bet you were happy to see the federal money in the budget for infrastructure spending. I know Ottawa investing over $50 billion across Canada. You lobbied for that with other mayors in Ottawa a few weeks ago. What power you must yield, Mayor.
I was very happy to see, given that our initial sense was that there maybe wasn't going to be a focus on infrastructure this budget go around. Very happy to see that there was some investment included in this budget cycle. That being said, it's probably not enough when we talk about the nation and the infrastructure debt that we're facing across the nation, but glad to see a step forward. And now we have to unpack and see how exactly we can get access to that and apply it to our city.
And some citizens wonder, how do you apply it to the city? What's the plan?
It's really, there's a couple pieces. You know, we have to look at the program itself. There's going to be, every time there's parameters around what's applicable and what's not in terms of projects. So what we need to do is shortlist projects that would apply to the funding available and then prioritize that based on the needs in our community for that infrastructure. So there'll be a couple of steps there. We'll have some folks in administration do some legwork as they do and understand how we get access to that money.
Mayor Chad Baczynski, 11th Avenue Construction seems to be winding down for another year. Not completed. It'll resume next year. What's the status there?
For this year, we're almost done this year, almost cleaned up. I think just the final touches this week here. I was hopeful it was going to be done this week, but it sounds like they're just doing a little bit of cleanup here, and early next week it should be open.
Okay. Dewdney Avenue between Albert and Broad, the revitalization project. When is Dewdney going to reopen?
That one is going to be closer to the kind of mid-end of November here. There's a little bit of work with the rails, the rail crossing there. So once that's done, that will also be ready to open for everybody.
All right, Mayor. Last weekend, I was with some of your fellow counselors and a bunch of business leaders at a breakfast where Brandt CEO Sean Semple was guest speaker, a local business leader who has made his headquarters right here in Regina, of course. It was interesting, Mayor, to hear him openly discuss, you know, a 5,000-seat ballpark in the rail yards. He even talked about a new arena he threw out the day 2030. He seems pretty confident at it happening. And after all, it's probably going to take private investment like that. What's standing in the way of not getting this going sooner than later?
You know, for me, nothing standing in the way of those conversations. I think for me, that makes me excited when I hear, prominent members of our community that are wanting to invest in our community in spaces like that. That's incredible. So nothing will stand in the way of those conversations, and we would work through whatever we need to understand, you know, permitting land on that. That wouldn't be a problem. We would work through the standard process and make sure that we are working lockstep if something were that come to life.
Let's end on the West Final. How are you embracing the weekend here with the Riders and the Lions?
Oh, I'm excited. I'll be at the game and cheering our Riders on. Very excited. I'm happy with how it turned out. We're facing the Lions. I think we're in a good spot there. So very excited for the game.
Now, when you attend, Mayor Chad Baczynski, a game where the daytime high is going to be -5, kickoff at 5:30, fourth quarter could be a little chilly. Are you sitting with the rest of us minions in the stands, or are you warm and cozy up in a suite?
I think it would be both, because I find that I end up wandering around the stadium for most games. So I'll probably be wandering in and out all over the place.
A bit of a politician answer there. I didn't really come out to say where, but okay. Well, are the Riders going to win, and if by what score?
Oh, boy. The Riders are going to win. That's my prediction. I think it'll be somewhat close. I think it's going to be lower scoring. I'm going to say 21-14.
21-14. All right. Mayor Chad Bashinsky, always good to have you on the show. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, coming up, Premier Scott Moe is going to be on the Evan Bray Show right after the 8:30 news to dissect the federal budget a little more. And joining me now, Kevin Martell from the 980 CJME Newsroom.
A little surprised. So we heard from the finance minister yesterday on the federal budget, his reaction to it. And it wasn't quite so scathing. You might expect that the provincial government would really give it to the feds. But now, of course, they're still going through the budget. There is a lot of money for infrastructure to build. That is what we've been talking about. Yeah. It's a big deficit at $78 billion from the feds. But it does have a lot of money on capital spending to get things built. And so you're not going to be seeing stuff, you know, overnight. This will take a little bit of time, is how the Carney government is actually selling this budget. But so, yes, the Mo government is still going through it. But interesting to see and to hear what the Premier will say about it.
Yeah, right after the 8:30 news there. Now, what we do know is happening overnight tonight is some snow in the forecast here, Kevin. Are you ready for it, the white stuff? I don't think we'll see a huge accumulation, but
I've been wearing my winter coat and the toque the last,
yes,
well, last
have,
couple
yes.
weeks. And so I think those are the early steps, Greg, for me to mentally get ready. But you know,
have you found your ice scraper and snow brush and put it in the car? I did that yesterday.
They're not in the car yet.
Well, you got to get on that.
They're not in there yet. It's not a for sure that it'll snow. It's 60% chance of light snow. We'll see if it sticks.
It might just kind of stick to the rooftops and a little on the lawn.
We'll see. So,
because it is going to get sunny for game day weather. How do you look at it here? The forecast right now is calling for a Saturday high of -4. Late start, going to be colder by the 4th, but tickets are selling well.
Yeah, around 1,000, probably less than 1,000 now is with the Rough Rider. So we're there pretty well. We should get to a sellout, you would think, in the next few days. Certainly those kind of last-minute walk-up and buy-a-ticketers. But, I mean, this is something that fans in this province know. It's not like we've never gone to a late October or November game before. We know how to dress. It doesn't matter how cold it gets, Greg. It
matters in our favor
how well you dress.
It's in our favor, too, the cold weather, I think, against those BC Lions who are always toasty warm at BC Place.
So. The Dome Kitties, I believe, is how lockers describe them. It's a good name for them.
All right. Hey, really quick, too. You know, we've been talking the last few mornings about, you know, mini chocolate bars with some sort of sliver of metal found in a few of them in different areas of the city. And you and I were talking about this. Even our acting police chief, Laura Lee Davies, said maybe it's manufacturing because nothing seems to connect. And sure enough, in BC, a couple of cases
are
showing
up. Cases there.
Similar, right?
Yeah, and Kit Kat bars, I believe. And I think they're all part of the Nestle family. So it gives you perhaps not a definitive answer, but certainly maybe
it
pushes you.
They got to look at that, whether it is a manufacturer then.
Yeah.
Because it's so similar in BC. So.
And we've been talking about, like you said, in this city, where it's kind of all over the city. It's not targeted in one area where you're seeing reports from parents of this, you know, possibly tampered with or candy with these little thin metal strips.
By the way, do you think there are any kids still eating Halloween candy? Or do you think it's all gone by now? Here we are Thursday morning.
That's probably all gone. I know mine is. We didn't have that much left over, Greg, but it was gone within, I think, a day or two.
All right. Kevin Martell from the 980 CJME Newsroom at 6:58. Oh, man, the excitement is starting to really grow for the West Final. The Lions come to town Saturday, kickoff at 5:30. A bit of good news yesterday for Rider fans as Keyshawn Johnson had his helmet on. And actually, as Britton Gray told us, Participated in a few individual drills. Still waiting for a confirmation from the coach. He thinks he's ready.
I feel good. So, you know, from there, you know what I mean? Everything we'll put in the air, but I feel good.
All right. CJMB Rider reporter Britton Gray. He feels good. Coach, you think he's going to green light him or what?
I'm very interested in that. I'm not quite sure yet because ultimately Corey Mace has to decide if him at even 90% is better than the other option, right, which is Joe Robustelli, who's been out there with the ones for a lot of this week. I think Keyshawn Johnson, he's one of the best receivers in the league, obviously named an all-CFLer. I think if you can find a way to get him out there, you do it, but that's why Corey Mace gets paid the big bucks, right?
Any other injuries or practice notes from yesterday at all?
Good news on Roland Milligan. He logged a full practice. That means he'll be able, more than likely, be able to play this week. So that's a big boost for that defensive backfield as they try to stop Nathan Rourke out there on defense. And so outside of that, this team's getting healthy. There's not really a lot of supposed starters who are still missing. Shane Ray is really the only one who comes to mind where he hasn't been out there, so I don't expect him to go. But otherwise, it might be the healthiest this team has been for a long time.
Well, there's, as I mentioned, lots of excitement growing. After all, the Lions and Riders met in postseason play in the semifinal last year. We beat them, only to lose to Winnipeg in the West Final. This year, there seems to be so much confidence. So you watch this club every day. Break the game against the Lions on Saturday down for me here. From your perspective, what are the key factors the Riders need to ensure they do to win? And same with BC.
I think it's get the run game going, right? For the Riders, use AJ Ouellette a lot. This should be an AJ Ouellette game when you look at what the weather could be like. And just keeping the ball out of Nathan Rourke's hands. And on the other side of that, for the BC Lions, you need your defense to step up. They've been playing better recently to end the season, yes, but that's been really the team's Achilles heel all season long for the Lions. Their defense hasn't been able to provide the offense with enough support. So that's what it comes down to. The Riders' offense staying on the field and keeping the ball out of Nathan Rourke's hands while the BC Lions defense finds a way to force some turnovers. So we'll see how that goes on Saturday.
We saw those East Final and the West Final come down to a field goal last weekend. A lot of CFL analysts pointing to, you know, the kicking battle. Sean White, he's nailed 95.1% of his field goal tries this year, whereas Brett Lauther, I think, coming in at 72.2% conversion rate so far. That's a key battle. We never want to see it come down to that, but that's a factor in this game too, isn't it?
Yeah, it will be, though. The BC Lions don't trot out Sean White for long field goals. I think he doesn't kick a lot past 50 yards. They only use him really for close situations, and he also kicks in a dome for half the season, right? So you have to take that into account. Brett Lauther's made some big kicks. He's made some big kicks in some, let's say, interesting weather as well. And if that's where the Riders decide to go, because, hey, they might, it's the close practice today, they might decide to make the change at kicker. I think they'll go with Brett Lauther, but you go with the veteran who's been there, done that, especially at home at Mosaic Stadium, where Brett's had a lot of success kicking prior to this season, even though this year was a little bit rough.
It was rough, and perhaps we've all been guilty of being rough on him, but I feel the same way. He's the guy we got to go with this weekend. Rider reporter Britton Gray, how surprised were you to hear the Red Blacks just hired Ryan Dinwiddie as the new head coach and GM?
Kind of came out of nowhere. There were some rumblings that maybe Ryan Dinwiddie might be moving on, but with the success they had there, you had to assume Toronto would find a way to keep him there, but clearly that's not the case. And I think this is a great move for Ottawa and that ownership group after a few years of bad years of just barely making playoffs, not doing too much. This is a move that tells their fan base, hey, we're taking it seriously. We want to make the playoffs and get past the playoffs, but get back to the Grey Cup, and this is a move that tells their fan base that they want to be contenders once again.
Speaking of fan base, what's the mood around Mosaic Stadium from the standpoint of the organization? What do we got? About 1,000 tickets left. Are they getting a little nervous about selling this out or not?
I don't think so. When you talk to all of them, they say that their walk-up ticket base is actually very good when it gets closer to game day. I think it's going to sell out, and the team really encourages that. And they want to see a sold-out game because you want the BC Lions to not only compete with the weather, but over 30,000 Rider fans yelling and screaming while the Lions offense is on the field.
It's going to be fun. Thank you, Britton. Appreciate your time.
Not a problem.
Count the headlights on the
Lightly raining in Regina and Moose Jaw. We have some snow in the forecast over the next 24 hours. I don't think we're going to have heavy accumulations by no means. Might put a little of the white stuff on rooftops, a bit of the lawn as well. But still, yesterday I was encouraged to find my scraper and my snow brush, threw it in the gar. And joining me now is Evan Bray, who is tuning up your snowblower already. I think you're going to need it yet.
Well, that's okay. You know what? I mean, maybe this is just when it's like washing your vehicle and then it rains the next day. If you get my snowblower ready, it's in the garage, ready to go. Maybe I won't need it, but it is that time of the year. I was even happy just to open the curtains this morning and see we didn't have a blanket of snow.
Yeah, it's getting there. We're getting to that point where we know it's inevitable. But, I don't think it's going to be enough snow to be whining too much come Saturday for game day. It's supposed to be sunny again, a little cool, but we'll be right.
A little bit of snow is kind of indicative of fall football, is it not?
It is.
How many times have we sat through snow watching football at Mosaic?
All right, we're coming off the federal budget, and Premier Scott Moe, I don't know what your sense is. I don't think I've heard Mo really necessarily come out and slam this budget too hard yet. Perhaps he will. He's coming up on your show, but so far, not really. Saskatchewan not really getting a lot of love in it. Are you surprised at his reaction so far?
I haven't heard him talk a lot about it. I know the finance minister, Jim Ryder, yesterday talked about, the deficit is concerning, $78.3 billion. But he also said it's concerning but understandable, which, is a bit of an indication that, we are in tough financial times. We've got to make tough decisions. So I'm guessing the premier will have a bit of the same tone on that. But the other thing I'm interested, Greg, in talking with Premier Moe about is, you remember a couple of months ago, he had that summit in Lloydminster, the border town Lloydminster, where he met with Danielle Smith and they came up with this list of 10 things they wanted Mark Carney to adjust to basically open up the energy market. Well, this budget basically addresses two of them, although there are some strings attached. It does address the oil and gas cap and the greenwashing legislation. So I'm curious to know, is that a sign of goodwill? Is that a sign of, don't worry, the cheese hasn't slipped off the cracker, we're still working together on this? Or from an energy perspective, does the premier feel like it was a failure? So that's part of where we'll go in our discussion this morning.
Okay, and military spending is going up in this budget here too, but really nothing outlined as to how it's going to be distributed yet, but one of your guests might help.
You're bang on with that, Greg. I mean, $81.1 billion in military spending, but not really a blueprint on how it's going to be spent. No better guest to ask than General Rick Hillier. We've had Rick on our program before. He tells it like it is. He lays it out, and he's one of those guys that can almost put together an operational plan on the air while you're talking to him. So I'm looking forward to the conversation with him. Basically, where are the priorities? What do we need to do? Is this shifting the way the world is going to view the Canadian military? That's part of the conversation with General Hillier today as well.
All right, we'll tune in at 8:30. Thank you, Evan.
Good stuff. Thank you.
Premier Scott Moe right after the 8:30 news. Later over at the Ledge, I'm hearing the Riders, Gator are going to gather, and we're going to have a little fun announcement too. Likely something to do with our West Final, I'm sure, but when we find out what that is all about, we'll pass it on to you too. It's CJME News Time now at 6:27.